I can barely get any reception on this stupid thing. So far, the only station that comes in is some British guys reading news from places I'm not sure exist.
Today, in Kazakhstan, a peaceful demonstration turned to bloodshed as members of the Tuzili tribe flooded Kenpow Square in remembrance of the third anniversary of the Holmesburg massacre. And now with sports, here's Framtel Tromwibler.
You're listening to The Hockey Show, broadcasting at 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm not sure about any of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight, everybody, as we continue our look at some outstanding female role models this month with the whole gender and equality and all that kind of stuff that, I know the NHL's pushing that, but we do a lot of it here on this show. Another fantastic woman to talk to. Let's bring in another fantastic woman before we get to our guest tonight, though. Jenna, how are you?
I am just peachy as per usual.
Peachy.
Getting through the week. That's
peachy is good. Yeah. That's always good to hear. Obviously some big news came out of Manitoba this week, as there's a chance to host an NHL game at a not Winnipeg location, St. Adolphe, up for Kraft Hockeyville this year. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end, I guess, in terms of getting into that. We'll give them a little bit of push because we're going to do that over the next 3 weeks before we have to vote on that. But tonight, we're not going to waste this woman's time any as much as we want to talk to her for hours on end. She's got other things that she has to do. So we are happy to be featuring, again, another woman today who's been successful on a number of fronts on her career. We continue that effort today as we meet a woman whose off-ice successes likely rival all the success that she's had on the ice. She's a gifted hockey player, but she's making a difference in so many lives with her work that it's hard not to be proud of what she's doing off of it. This woman was a defender with the St. Mary's Academy Flames, where she showed her talents on the ice before graduating and playing with the Polar Ice of the Manitoba Women's Junior Hockey League. Since then, she's become a coach who has led her teams to many accolades, a middle school teacher where she's molding young minds, and a leader and role model for so many kids, both on the ice and in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome Miss Christine Bumstead to the show. Christine, how's everything going? How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no. Thanks for coming on. I mean, like I said, we were super excited to talk to you. You got a ton of stuff going on. So, we were super, looking forward to this because you've done a ton of amazing things, I would say. So we're going to get into that right away. Before we get going, everybody good on your side? Everybody healthy? Nobody, the whole COVID thing, everything's going well?
Yeah, we're going. I'm in the schools and stuff. So we've been very in our school to not have we've been keeping everybody healthy and everybody safe, which has been really good. And I'm actually a remote teacher right now. I teach remote in the morning and in person in the afternoon, and I've been doing that since the middle of November. And I'm very excited because after spring break, all my students are coming back. So I'm going to be getting all 40 students back, and I'm going to be teaching them in the high school gym as our classroom, so we can all be safely separated. And I'm really looking forward to that, to get some face-to-face all day again.
Yeah, that'll be a little bit back to normalcy for you guys, I guess, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So as we always do in these interviews, we're just going to start way back at the very beginning of your history, I guess. So we'll start here on November 13th, 1995, when a baby girl was added to the Bumstead household. What was life growing up for you with, Bummer and everyone?
Yeah, I think hockey's pretty much, we say it is the family business, and it literally is. And we just spent our all winter, all summer at the rink, kind of everywhere. I think at the time I grew up sometimes a little mad, like my friends got to go on trips during the summer and go to the beach and all these things. And I was going to the rink every day and going to all these small towns in Ontario and stuff. But looking back on it now with some perspective, I see how fortunate I was for that and all the introductions it made me and the opportunities it's given me. But I pretty much just grew up always at the rink, always wanting to play hockey. And then it turned into becoming like always wanting to stay involved in hockey. And now that I don't play anymore, I think Bummer's been my biggest role model in the whole thing. And, you know, Jenna, just how similar him and I really are. And I think that's basically just because I'm his mini him. I'm the mini Bummer. So
we are. Yeah.
Can I just say that I don't know if it is to you, Christine, because you've probably done it for so long. Is it weird calling your dad by like his nickname, even though he's your dad?
Well, no. So I guess I should clarify that. So at home, he's dad, and I always call him dad.
Okay.
But I call him Bummer when I'm like referring to him, because that's what everybody calls him. And so it's just kind of like when I was at the rink, I didn't like saying dad. It's like I didn't like to call coach dad. I called him Bummer. And so it's very distinct, like when I'm talking about him or I'm in a hockey sense, or if I'm talking to him in outside of the house, then he is Bummer. And when he's at home, he's dad. And I don't think him and I ever had that conversation. It just kind of happened. And it's just kind of how it's been.
It's just the way it is. I like that. Obviously, I mean, for those who don't know, Larry Bumstead, who's head coach at St. Mary's Academy and works with the whole Winnipeg Jets development and all that high level camps and everything they do, is your dad. Obviously, had a little bit of influence in helping you find your sport, as you were saying. Were there other sports that you excelled in, though, Christine? Like, were there other sports where you were like, okay, no hockey, let's get into this one now?
Yeah, I think so. When I was five, or whenever I went to my first initiation, my mom always tells the story. I got all dressed and the coach came in and was like, "Okay, time to go." And I just watched all of them go out. And I looked at my mom and I was like, "No, don't want to do this." So I went to the IP skate, got dressed and didn't go. And I was never pushed into it. I kind of sat out that year and like we thought about it. And then I kind of skated throughout the year with my dad and stuff. And then they were like, "Do you want to try again?" And I was like, "Yeah, we'll do it." And then I did it and I've kind of played it ever since. But growing up, my parents are always big, like multi-sport athlete people. So I did competitive softball. I actually was a competitive dancer. And when I was 13, I had to choose. And that was actually the first year I played with Jenna. And it was my first year girls hockey. And I remember I used to come to the games right from a dance competition and I'd have like my stage makeup on and then I would just sweat it all off. But I basically, dance and softball growing up were my two big sports. In high school, I played field hockey and I played on Team Manitoba for that as well. But hockey was kind of always the number one, but I definitely pursued other sports. And as long as I was part of a team environment, didn't really matter what sport it was. I was there to just be active and have fun with everybody, hang out.
That's awesome.
So you played 4 years, 2009 until 2013 with the St. Mary's Flames, where you were a Winnipeg women's, I'm going to say we, because that's fun. I like this. It's reminding me of the good old days. So we were the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League finalists twice, but then, played at both the high school and the prep levels. So what was your impression of the changes between high school hockey and prep hockey?
Well, I think our first year of prep, like we were a pioneer program and going like, and every program has that, whether you're at the university level or prep level, whatever it is, when you're that first team coming in that first year, you never really know what to expect. So I look at when we switched over, it kind of, in a way, we were a high school team playing at a very elite level at that first year. And I think it was a really good realization for the girls that were kind of making that choice, like, you know what, this elite level of hockey is something that I want to pursue. And other people kind of saw it and said, you know what, this is really fun and this is really cool, but not for me, like the hours, you know, that you put in outside of the rink and all that, right? And so it was kind of a really cool experience to see it and also see it at the very beginning. And now that I've, like, those 2 years we played there were awesome. I wish we would have had one more year, just because I think by that third year, they were kind of more set as a team. And I think we all would have saw like way more success there. And I think it's been neat to be able to watch that team since the beginning, because I'm still very heavily involved with them, and to see how far they've come and reflect back to our first 2 years with it, especially that first season, and how we were a high school team in a prep league and where they are now is just like amazing. And to think that that's happened in, and I'm going to age myself saying this, but I think 9 years, I think.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
8 years, 11 years, I think. I don't even know, but it's been a long time, which is crazy to think. But I think, yeah, it was really cool. And that first year was definitely a shock. I know Bummer had told us, you know, the goal was to win 10 games. And I think we won 9 and tied like 11 or something. But this, the little goals, right? but I think it was really cool.
I mean, you guys didn't do obviously that bad. I mean, first year, like you said, it's sort of the getting into it, the figuring things out, the how do we do this? How do we get better? How do we, you know, how do we basically play at a higher level, even though we're kind of the same team?
I only gave you our wins and tie stats. I did not give you our losses stats.
No, and that's okay. But I was going to say the 2012-2013 season, your second season playing prep, though, was where you guys sort of kind of turned the corner a little bit, because the Flames went 26-17-5 that year. Of course, you had teammates like Jenna and former UBC Thunderbirds defender Madison Patrick, former Bison sniper Jordy Zacharias, some goalie named Andy Chipman, who now works for, you know, some professional team. a lot of players that sort of came through and sort of made their mark early and sort of, you know, really set the wheels in motion, I would say, for where the Flames went. Again, that was your final year playing at the prep level. You had 2 goals, 14 assists, and 48 contests, so a pretty good season. What stands out for you in terms of that sort of second season where you guys really made some real leaps and bounds forward? And I'm supposed to ask you, why was Jenna your favorite teammate that year?
I think the you'd have to ask Bummer why she's my favorite teammate, but okay. It has something to the fact that he never let us room together, because he said that it wouldn't be good for the team if he let us room together. But we'd tried for 2 years to be roommates and we were never allowed. She was the only one that we weren't allowed to room together, because I think he knew what he was getting himself into. But yeah, I think that for like that second season, it felt more like a real season. You know, we were kind of established. People knew who we were. And then we also got to set that reputation for ourselves, because obviously the reputation you have as a first year team and people call us easy wins. And I think Jenna will remember the hotel money story, right? So that's kind of how people viewed us, as just coming and take our money. And we got to come in as a team that meant business, and we had a lot of skill on that team that year, and we kind of got to prove a lot of people wrong, which was really cool. Kind of have that underdog mindset pretty much everywhere we went. I remember going to Stony Creek, hotel money. We went to Washington. It was kind of the same thing. We would go in and people knew us from what they'd heard of the previous season. And we were a whole new group that year. And we had a lot of really young talent in those 97s, 96s and 95s, like all the way up. We had a really good group and really dedicated coaches that were ready to ride the waves with us, whether we were playing like Little Caesars or those big teams, or if we were just playing like a AAA team in the city, like Eastman or Avros, right? It was kind of always the same mindset and always the same expectations for us going in. And sometimes we got the results we wanted. And I guess you said what, we had 27 wins that year?
26. Yeah. 26-17-5. Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good season. I don't remember it being that way, but
yeah,
that's the record set on you on the St. Mary's website. So I'm going to take it as being gospel at that point.
I like that. So just speaking of, you know, tournaments and stuff, you were part of the annual traditional in Winnipeg now, as you participated in the inaugural 2013 Female World Sports School Challenge. That year, it was won by Edge. They were incredible, but they ended up beating Okanagan Hockey Academy. But I mean, we did okay, didn't do great, didn't do well. But what stands out about that 8-team tournament in your mind? And like, what are your thoughts on the tournament growing to be one of the biggest scouting opportunities for young women when it comes to, you know, like post-secondary opportunities and just huge, obviously, opportunities now from that tournament alone?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to just humble brag my mom here to start. Yeah. That thing is literally Kathy Bumpstead's. That's all her. And the work she puts into that is absolutely insane. And just to do it for the girls, right? And I think of that first year, and yeah, we lost to, or Okanagan lost in the finals. And I remember playing them the banner night game or whatever they had called it that Friday night when the whole school came, and we lost 3-2, right? It was a close game. Like we almost, like it was, that was a really crazy game and the energy in that building, or maybe it was 3-1. I can't remember, but it was close. And that tournament, you know, it's so much about the teams that are coming to it, and it is all those big prep schools in the country. But at the same time, the players want to come because of the way that the tournament hosts them. Like you get your laundry done in between every game. You get snacks at every flood before and after the game. You get junior hosts that are there to set your pucks up, fill your water bottles, do everything. Like it is like elitely run on the back end. And then I think scouts and other teams notice that. And, you know, I come back every year and I always help my parents, and I volunteer there, and I I'm kind of in charge of the junior hosts and all that and the awards committee, and talking to scouts now that I even interact with out here. Like, I ran into some scouts when Morden hosted the U18 Nationals last year, and they were like, hey, yeah, I remember seeing you at that sports school tournament. Like, holy man, the, like, you know, the way they put that together, that's our highlight of the year. Like, that, that's a great one we love coming down to, because the scouts are treated well. They get a lot of really good exposure. It's at a really good time in the year. Like, they've actually moved it from March up to January now. So it's a little bit earlier, which is a perfect time of the year. It doesn't kind of start cutting into the fun, like, Frozen Four for the NCAA teams, and they all make it out. And yeah, it, and now that they've actually, I think they did 12 teams the last time, like, it's
16 teams.
Yeah, yeah, there's more teams now too. So those scouts are getting more bang for their buck to come up, right? And you're seeing American teams and Canadian teams. And I just think the overall experience of it, when you're in the ring, at the banquet, all that stuff for everybody, for fans, for scouts, for coaches, players, everybody, it's a really high functioning operation going on there. And then the level of hockey that comes in is so awesome. And we always invite a lot of, like, minor hockey teams, like the Pee Wee and the Adam girls teams, to come and watch. We give them, like, free tickets to come in if they're wearing their jersey and stuff. And they get to watch what an elite level of hockey is. And it's a realistic level, right? That's like, that could be them in 4 years. And, you know, you have a lot of those grade sevens or grade sixes, St. Mary's girls or hopeful St. Mary's girls that are, like, watching, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, that could be me. So they start to see themselves in it. And it's not like when you see an NHL player or Team Canada Olympian and all those things, right? You see them and it's that, like, celebrity status, and it does kind of feel a little bit detached. But when you can see someone and then say, like, hey, like, I always think of a girl that came to watch when Jen and I played, and she was, like, watching. And then after the game, she had said to my mom, she goes, Jenna's my neighbor. Like, she lives on my street, right? So it feels a little bit more personal and a little bit more achievable for those young players. So as much as it's awesome for the girls playing and the coaches and scouts coming, it's also just a really good event to kind of grow female hockey and show the girls that there's something to play for and there's something achievable in your near future, right? When in, like, 3 or 4 years when you get there.
I mean, we're super honored here on UMFM. We get to call the tournament every year. And I mean, I'm happy that we have that relationship with, you know, St. Mary's to be able to do that. But you're right. I mean, full marks to your mom, to Kathy, because she is there night and day. She is there from morning till the dusk of the darkest part of the night. She legitimately is a superhero.
We go and switch laundry loads over at, like, midnight so that it'll be all dry for the 7 a.m. game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, she's a superhero out there. So, I mean, full marks to her, because, I mean, I don't think we'd get anywhere close to the response that you guys get every year, thanks to her efforts especially, but that whole team of volunteers that come out and help her.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
One of the cool things, and I mean, I only knew this because I started venturing down the Christine Bumstead path. Playing AAA hockey and completing high school at St. Mary's, you went and did something kind of cool in terms of completing some evening and weekend courses. What exactly did you do, and what made you passionate about it?
Are we talking about sign language?
We are.
I was like, what did I do on my...
You did. And I mean, I gotta say, I've watched a few of your videos, and I'm like, holy, this is incredible. This is awesome.
Yeah. So going back to kind of life in hockey growing up, there was a few deaf players that actually played for my dad and came to hockey camp and things like that. And when I was younger, I was like 8 or 9, and I didn't like talking to their mom and their mom signing for me, right? So I started teaching myself. I remembered I was going as a stick girl with the Girls of the North when I was like 9. And before I went, I took out these library books and I taught myself enough sign language so I could sit next to the two girls on the plane and they could teach me more on our way down to Toronto. And then I just kind of, I stuck with it and playing with those girls and being around them all the time. And I just found a real passion in it. So I started taking ASL courses, and it helped me at St. Mary's because I was able to get extra credits without like with our hockey schedule and things like that. And yeah. And then my end goal has always been to be involved in the deaf community in certain ways. So in high school, I volunteered at a deaf daycare, and in the summers when I worked at Camp Manitou, we would have like SMD and their deaf and hard of hearing groups come. So I would come and work with them. And actually, It's kind of crazy that you brought this up. I'm actually in the process of applying to get my either my master's or my like my postgrad in deaf education. So I'm waiting within the next few weeks. I'll probably hear, I've applied to a few programs. I'll be hearing which one, hopefully, that I'm getting into, because the goal at the end in my career is I would love to work at a school for the deaf and be involved in teaching and also in within the deaf community. So that's kind of where that has gone. But yeah, I've just kind of stuck with it, and I've been missing it recently, not using it as much now that I'm out in Morden. And I do teach, I have a sign language club at school, obviously not this year with COVID, but it kind of keeps me in it a little bit. But I'm hoping in the next few years to really dive into that side of things more.
The fact that you're going to get your master's is fantastic, number one. But number two, we actually hosted the World Deaf Ice Hockey Championship here in Winnipeg, I think back in 2013. The next one is actually out in 2021, April 6th, I believe, is when it starts, out in Vancouver. Any chance you're going out to Vancouver in April?
I don't, as much as I would love to, I don't think my school will allow me that process. But yeah, and actually the players that came to hockey camp, they've all played on the Deaf national team and are still involved in like in some ways with them. Like there was a girl by the name of Dallas, and she went to like York University and played, and she also played on Deaf Team Canada. And then Scott Nelson, he played on the men's team. So I know that when they were in Winnipeg, when I was still in high school, we were, yeah, I definitely had gone and checked all that stuff out because they were playing at Civic Center.
Right.
But yeah, as unfortunately this year with like COVID and everything, I'm not, but that's something I, like, I wish I so could. I remember looking at those dates at the start of the year and just being like, oh, of all the that I can't leave Manitoba. But I'll be watching for sure.
It's crazy to me that, like, I've known you for so long and just, like, you continue to surprise me with the stuff that you do. Like, yeah, exactly. But so there's a gap in your hockey career following, you know, graduating from St. Mary's. Obviously, you put that to pretty good use and you're still, you know, going with the education, but you enrolled at the University of Winnipeg to pursue some higher education. So what degree did you end up obtaining from U of W, and how was that experience for you?
Yeah, so I got a math major and a developmental studies minor, and with the goal of like my developmental studies linguistics to kind of go towards my deaf stuff in the future. And then I also did my ed degree. I was doing it at the same time in the integrated program. So it was super busy doing all of it at once, but it was nice for me because as much as I was missing hockey and being like a student athlete and all the hours we put in, I basically had the same busyness and hectic schedule, which kept that normalcy for me. So it was so difficult to leave hockey and leave that piece of my life behind when I started university. And I played like in that women's junior league, but it's different, right? The commitment level isn't what we are used to. So the busyness of like overloading myself with courses and jobs and all that stuff really just kept mentally, as probably insane as it sounds, it kept me mentally sane to just always be like, go, 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 go. And it really helped me go through my losing hockey journey because I wasn't focusing on it as much as I would have been if I just was doing school and not hockey and having all that free time and thinking about what I would be used to doing that I wasn't.
So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the Manitoba Women Junior Hockey League and the Polar Ice, and somehow you got talked into playing in the 2015-2016 season. How did that happen? How did you get talked back into coming back and strapping the skates on if you were, you know, if you were trying to keep so busy doing other stuff?
Well, I'm actually trying to remember. I think I played more than just, I for sure played more than just one season. I played three. I played my first season right out with the Northern Stars. That 2013-14 season, and we won that year. And then the following year, I just switched teams. I had asked to just go back in the draft and change teams. And then I went over to Polar Ice for 2 years there. And I think the first year we won and the second year we were silver or vice versa. But I did play for 3 years. But it's probably not on the website. I don't think I was that memorable there, maybe. So it wasn't on.
The only place you show up for the Manitoba Women's Junior Hockey Manitoba Women's Junior Hockey League is on the Polar Ice information. You don't even show up for the Northern Stars.
It probably hoofed me off of it, but I was there.
Okay. All right.
But, so I did play for 3 years and it was just kind of to stay in it. And it that also, and then when I left them, I was leaving because I was ready to go into coaching and take on that side of things because I was starting to feel like I wanted to kind of shift gears. And, you know, I was teaching and I was in the classroom and around like youth and stuff. And I was like loving it. And I wanted to kind of take that and put it into coaching. So I flipped over my roles that way.
Looking at it, I mean, you went from prep hockey, obviously, where you were, you know, exposed to a ton of stuff. And certainly, what's the difference between the junior hockey league and the prep hockey league in terms of, you know, the different style of hockey, I guess?
I think now it's definitely different than it was when we played. Like that first year that I played, there wasn't a lot. It was a lot of like older girls, like, or girls that I just like had never really seen, and girls my age that I had never played against because they played like high school or double A. So I hadn't really seen them in a few years. But then I know, like, as I was kind of getting older and getting out of it, it was getting a lot more competitive and things. So I think it is, it's a good space, and, you know, it's a good way to kind of stay active. And when you're going through university, I think we practice once a week and you play like one or two games a weekend. So it is like a good competitive thing, and you kind of make it what you want it to be. Some people are there to be super competitive, and some people are there to stay active, be in a team environment. You know, you have your 18 friends for the weekend, and there's always lots of fun to be had. So, but it was definitely a different coming from prep, like over to that, but it was a good experience there with them. And I had lots of fun. So
I'm just going to backtrack a little bit here, because it's kind of a question I've always had. Obviously, like, you've always been really smart and good in the classroom, like school, you just excelled at, but you were also like a very good hockey player. So when it came down to like graduating and stuff, was there a reason that you just kind of decided to go with school and instead of going somewhere to play hockey? Cause I know that you for sure could have. So is there like a specific reason, or you were just kind of like, I want to just do the school thing?
I think there was kind of a lot of factors in it. I think one of them obviously was like some of my health stuff that I had going on right in that grade 11, 12 time. So I think I chose to play it safe, and I did regret that choice. But at the same time too, you know, I was wanting to go into education, and I was wanting to be able to stay in Manitoba as a teacher. And I kind of, so the States, I knew if I were to go down there, your school, like, you have to take courses and stuff when you come back, because the only thing that never transfers back over is education degrees. And then also going into like Ontario, because Ontario teaching college is a little bit different than in Manitoba. So I weighed a lot of different options, and staying close to home was something that was important to me, just with everything that was kind of going on. And then getting into the program at U of W, like into that direct ed program, was really, really awesome. And I had some good ties with the Manitoba Deaf Center at the time, and wanting to stay close with them, because I was actually originally going to do my interpreting diploma at Red River at the same time. But then I realized that might have been a little bit biting off a little bit more than I could chew altogether. But that was kind of, what went into the decision. But I think in the moment I regretted it. And sometimes when you look back, you kind of do. But at the same time, I got through school pretty quickly and was able to start my career like 5 years out of high school, getting to start my first teaching job and stuff. So I definitely don't regret it in the long run.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous about that part.
I mean, I'll ask then, because I mean, you mentioned it with, you know, Northern Stars, and you did it again with Polar Ice. You guys won the MWJHL provincial championship. Like, what does that mean to you in terms of just the success you had that year? I mean, you said, you know, it's sort of just 18 friends on the weekend when you guys are playing, but I mean, you guys came together pretty well to sort of rule the roost there. Does it mean as much as it sounds? Is it as big as it sounds?
I think to a lot of people, it probably does. And I think looking back, it does too. But also that first year, I was mentally battling a lot of things, like the kind of the envy of my friends that had gone off and gone to university. And I kind of felt like, oh, I stayed behind. I was the only one that stayed behind and stuff. So I think mentally I was kind of going through a lot that year. But I will say that final series made it worth it for me. I remember the first game, we went into quadruple overtime, and then we won. And then the second game, I think, was one or two OTs. Like, it was like an insane back-to-back. So I think the season leading up to it was a really difficult season for me. But I think going into those super competitive games, and like, I was able to kind of get back into my athletic hockey mindset in that final series, because it was like, okay, well, like, we got to go here, like, seven OTs, like, they're not just going to roll over. And I remember my dad like went home and brought me back like roast beef and potatoes to brought me on the bench, because I was just like dying. I was like, I've been playing since 7 o'clock, it's 10:30. But I think that those last two games were the most like intense games that I had, and the only two things from that entire season that I do remember and like look back at kind of and see myself in a bit more of a positive light. And I think it was, yeah, it kind of brought back the hockey mentality for me, because that whole year I was kind of checked out. And I think that weekend was also the only reason why I decided to come back and play again, because I was kind of like, oh, this is not for me. But that weekend kind of brought me back in, hooked me in a little bit. And then I was able to have another season, and we won that next year too, but with Polar Ice. So that was just as good there.
So we're about halfway through the show here, and we're talking with Christine Bumstead about her life, her career. She's done a ton of amazing things already, both on and off the ice. I'm going to talk a little bit more about off the ice now. I mean, obviously, like you said, you went through and got your degree. You know, killing it on the work that you're doing, you know, outside the classroom with the ASL and everything like that. One of the things that you got into, though, once you graduated, once you got your degrees, was you began coaching again. Or you started coaching, I guess not again, but began coaching. I mean, is that just because, you know, family tradition in terms of, you know, your dad doing it? You kind of want to do the same thing, stay in hockey that way?
Yeah, I think so. Going through high school and stuff, my dad and I, well, Jenna and I played for Girls of the North when we were younger. Right. It's a spring team that my dad does. And so when we phased out of it, he started it with an 02 age group. And so, which was my younger sister's age. So we started, she was playing and I was kind of helping out in high school, just going out, pushing pucks, like hanging out with the girls. And then when they started to get a little bit more competitive, I kind of hopped on, and he was head coach and I was assistant coach. And then as we kind of got going, it kind of turned into like a co-coach type thing. And so we coached them for 7 years, and we took them all the way up until they kind of all phased into St. Mary's or wherever they, BH, wherever they kind of took their paths there. And then I was hooked, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in this. And the following year I started, we finished with that 02 age group, and we started another one with 07. So we take a group at the novice age, second year novice, and we follow them all the way through to first year bantam. And so, which is so cool. And you have players that come and go throughout the years, but you have your like 8 or 9 that stay all the way through. And it's so cool to see their development and like look back and think of them when they were like novice, and now they're 15 years old and they play against me or they're playing for me at the AAA level. And it's just crazy to see that development go. But so that's kind of how I got into it. And then in my final year of university, I was like, you know what? What's one more thing to add? Student teaching, 3 jobs. Like, heck yeah, let's coach. And so I approached the Assiniboine Park Rangers in Winnipeg, and I just said, hey, like, I don't know if you're looking for coaches. I'd love to kind of come on. And I was kind of thinking it was just going to be an assistant coach thing, because I never really head coached a program before. I'd always just co-coached it. And they took a chance on me, and they put me behind the bench head coaching the Bantam girls. And that was kind of my first taste at it. And I loved it. I loved kind of all the aspects of it, and getting like on the ice stuff and the off ice stuff and the travel and the expectations and everything. And I think I earned a lot of respect from my dad that year, seeing how he had done everything. And I tried so hard to make it a real like competitive environment and a real mature environment. And I think that's kind of something I did my first year there. And now that I've come up to Pembina Valley, I've done the same thing. Like, people will talk about me as a coach and say like, oh yeah, she expects a lot out of you. Like, she's organized, she's planned, she micromanages. Like, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But I really started to kind of hold my own in that Bantam age group and really strive for the off ice components and like who you are as a player off the ice. And that's been one of my biggest focuses in coaching. And that's actually the side of it that I love the most. Like, I love the on ice and the playing and all that stuff, but I also just love kind of setting those girls up for success, whether it's going to be in hockey or something later down the line, kind of all those characteristics and that side of things that I focus on in my coaching.
We had a young lady on last week with the Winnipeg Avros, one Kylie Johnson. Was she part of your Rangers Bantam AA team when you were there?
Yes, she was. She was one of my defense. Oh, that's so awesome.
She decided to downplay virtually every single accolade she got that year. Was she as good as we tried to make her out to be? Was she a standout defender?
She was, and she's too humble and too sweet, but she 100% was. And she was like a big core on that back end, and even offensively, like, she's somebody that you don't have a lot of those defensemen that can do what she does. And she was doing it at the Bantam level as a minor age player. And then when she was playing Avros, like, when she comes out here to Morden, they play Pembina Valley, I always come, and I'm just like, she's doing the same moves that she did at Bantam, and it's working against like major midget players, right? And so she has a lot of confidence and poise when she's got the puck, and she has a lot of, like, even without the puck, but the thing she does when she's got that puck on her stick as a defenseman, people might stereotype the way Jenna and I were, maybe a bit of Stonehand. Just into the corner, you'll let them angle you off to the wall, pinch you off. She had it going on back there. Absolutely.
And I mean, I'm not going to let you guys get away with that. Cause I mean, 2 goals, 14 assists at the prep level for one young lady that's on the show.
Focus on how many penalty minutes?
38. If you wanted to know, yeah. 38 and 48, yeah. 48 games. So
yeah. Nice. How many of them?
After a while, we weren't even allowed to be D partners.
Yeah. Jenna had a few more. I won't deny that, but
yeah. No, yeah, we
Jen and I got kicked out of a ringette tournament one time for too many penalties.
What? Wait, yes, what?
St. Mary's, they put it in a team for like a ringette tournament. They were having like a high school, whatever. And honestly, like me and Christine were just physical hockey players. And in ringette, you literally cannot like touch anyone. Like if you're within 2 feet of them, like you're going to get a penalty. but yeah, we got kicked out, both of us. But it's fun.
I tell you, what are we doing? I mean, and now the worst part is that you're both coaches. Like, what's going on here? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Here we go.
People are cool a lot more than I can. So,
I mean, but obviously, you enjoyed it. And like you said, you were certainly, you know, into it. I mean, you enjoyed every part of it. Things changed. You got a new job, essentially. You went from one school to another. Is that right? In terms of getting out to Morden?
No, actually, so I graduated and I came right out here. So when I was in Winnipeg, I was student teaching.
Teaching. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then I took a job out here in Morden, and that's kind of how I got out with Pembina Valley, was when I came out here 3 years ago.
And so 2019, you roll into Pembina Valley, go out and see the Hawks and say you want to coach, and they give you basically the biggest team they can. They put you in as assistant coach as a Bantam AAA hockey team out there for the girls, and things kind of went really well for you out there.
Yeah, we had so that first year they were actually still just a double rostered team, so they all played on their respective like local house league teams, and then we got together once a week for a 2-hour practice, and then we played 10 exhibition games and both two showcases, and then we went to provincials, and we rolled into provincials and we won. And then when you win the rural provincials, you play against the city champs of the city loop playoffs. So right. We play the Twins, and that second game, we won the first game. I think it was in regulation, but then the second game, it went into 4 overtimes as well. And we won, and yeah, we were provincial champs. And then with that, we were kind of able to, same as with like with St. Mary's, is that first year we were a pioneer program. I was kind of able to use those wins as a bit of a push to with our association and with Hockey Manitoba and Hockey Winnipeg to get us single rostered. And then the following season when I was head coach, we were in the league and we were a single roster team. So the girls only came with us. And so we got like these past, well, not this year, but last year we were a bit more of a established program, which has been so awesome. So it's been a short run out here with Pembina Valley so far, but it's been lots of jumps and lots of successes early.
Can we not rush over the fact that you guys went 24-5 that season?
Is that what it was?
Yeah. 24-5 and you won 2 provincial championships. So I would say you guys did a pretty good job out there.
Yeah, we had an unbelievable group of players and like just so much talent in those girls and so much like heart in them, and the ones that they all went off. Those 03s, I think they would have been, all went off to go 04s that all went to play on the midget team the following year. And our 05s that had stayed were so talented as well. And I think if COVID hadn't shut us down last year, like we were ranked number one going into provincials again this past year. So I think we would have had a good opportunity there had it not been canceled.
So they've pretty much given you a chance to not only, you know, do a lot of good stuff out there so far with, you know, just one of the Hawks teams, but now you're the head coach of the AAA under 15 Pembina Valley Hawks. They've basically given you the full gamut of responsibility, so to speak. What's it like, you know, what's it sort of, you're sort of the top dog out there when it comes to coaching. What's it like being, you know, sort of recognized around Morden for who you are?
Well, I think I'm recognized around Morden as Miss Bumstead a little bit more than I go to the grocery store without Miss Bumstead. But it's good. And you know what? I love being in the city, and I was so proud of being a part of the Rangers Association and everything. But what's been cool about coming out here is there's a little bit of a, like, I'm not Bummer's daughter out here, and there's nothing wrong with being Bummer's daughter. And I loved every opportunity that that has given me in Winnipeg, but coming out to Pembina Valley, I've kind of been able to establish myself as Christine Bumstead, which has been really cool. And getting the chance, and to think, like, at 23 years old, they were like, heck yeah, here you go, take this program. And I was like, okay. But it's been really awesome. And I'm really proud of kind of the program that my assistant coach Cass Carls and I were able to, like, sit down 2 summers ago and kind of plan everything out and hit it hard in September of 2019. And it's just been really good. And there's been some stuff at the grassroots level that we're working on as well. And just going out with the U9 team and the pre-novice teams and just hanging out with them. And I think out here, there isn't as much, like, female coaches, and there's a lot of dad coaches and male coaches, and there's actually not a lot of girls hockey teams in general. They all play on their boys team, and then they play on a double roster team that they get together once a month. So it's been really cool to kind of go out with them and come to the rink and see them and stuff, and just kind of be like, hey, you know, in a few years, like you can be a Hawk. And they see girls in their hometowns that play. And we did this thing last year called the Future Hawks, where for every home game, the girls would get to bring, like, two younger players from their community to come out, and they would do warm up with us off ice. They'd hang out in the dressing room before the game. They'd come on the ice and skate with us for warm up and do all Canada on the line. And they'd just be, like, vibrating. And then they would see, and then you see them at the rink in the summer, and they're like, hey, do you remember me? Do you remember me from when I came with you? And you're like, absolutely, I do. 100%. I totally remember who you are. But they are so excited. And I think it's been really cool to have this AAA team that's in a league at the U15 level, and to inspire kind of those younger girls. And it's kind of humbling to hear you say that. It, like, kind of, maybe I'm, because I've never seen myself as that person out here. I just am. I'm here, I'm coaching, I'm teaching. But it would be cool if that's how people see me out here. I think that's really, it's an honor.
I mean, even within Winnipeg, like, yeah, you were Bummer's daughter, but you're also that kind of person that just almost, and not that you demand respect, but, like, you walk into a room and, like, you're so, like I said, you surprise me with the stuff that you do every single day. Like, I was reading articles on you and stuff, and, like, I knew it because we talk, you know, but it's just, you definitely are that person out there. And I think it's just crazy. Like, you're such a cool person.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll go one further than that and say, I mean, I know you were talking about the grassroots and sort of, you know, trying to build it from, you know, from the bottom up in terms of, you know, having younger players come out and doing all that. One of the things that I read about, and certainly I think this is one of the cooler things that maybe Pembina Valley Minor Hockey is doing, is that you guys have jamborees. You guys basically throw a big event that younger players can come out to and basically learn from some of the better coaches in the area, some of the better coaches in the province, on how to be good hockey players. And the growth that apparently, and again, I don't have numbers because there were no numbers given, but reportedly the growth of girls hockey in the Pembina Valley region has exploded because of these jamborees. I mean, that's one of those things I think that really needs to be sort of highlighted, that you guys are essentially not only building a program, but kind of building an entire future for hockey in the Pembina Valley.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I take no credit to that. That is all Kim Paul. She did, and Amanda Wall. They've both done a lot of work. Like, Kim Paul was the female president when I came here, and she's actually the one that kind of brought me in. And the vision she had for girls hockey in Pembina Valley was insane. And how quickly she was able to put it all together and get it going, like, off the ground, was just absolutely incredible. And so, yeah, those jamborees, I was able to be a part of a few in Winkler, and they were so much fun. And, like, I love coaching at the U15 level, but my heart is forever with those, like, novice Adam girls. They are so much fun, and they make you remember why you do girls hockey, and they make you remember why you put in the hours you do, because they just light up and they are there. Like, it's like that's what charges me, is going down up with those younger girls. So those jamborees, like, that's all Kim Paul and Amanda Wall, and they have done phenomenal work. And I think, like, I know that there was talks where they were meeting with other, like, associations, like, they were kind of taking our blueprint that they had done here in PV, and they were showing it to, like, I know Central Plains has really, their female program, like, they haven't had a U15 team in 2 years now, and their U18 team is a lot of like imports, like outside of the region. So I think the hope is to kind of get female hockey going there again too. So I know that they had met with other associations and kind of shown them what we've been doing here in hopes that we could kind of grow female hockey provincial wide and not just in PV, right? Get it going in Westman, Yellowhead, Central Plains, just to see that growth, because there's a lot of opportunities in Winnipeg for female hockey. And I think maybe when you live in Winnipeg, you take it for granted, because I think I definitely did until I came out here and realized just what a difference it is between the two, like how things are run and just numbers and things like that.
There have been some outstanding players that have come from Pembina Valley, like incredible players that have gone on to the Bisons, who've gone elsewhere. Most notably, I mean, for us, Lauren Keane obviously came from Manitou. Yep. You know, Janae Buchanan, who's captain of the Bisons right now. I mean, she is, you know, a defensive pillar back there. Megan Duduzek, same thing. Like, I look at the players that come out of Pembina Valley and I go, there's always somebody who's a difference maker. And yet you're saying, like, you know, it's sort of been an afterthought. And I go, what are these just exceptional players now who have sort of broken free of the system? Or are we seeing a change in the system that's really developing higher level players now? And I'm hoping it's the second, because I'll be honest. I mean, there's always good players coming out of Pembina Valley.
Yeah. And I think I'm a firm believer in good players will be found. If you're good enough, you'll be found wherever you are. Right. And I think, so you think of those girls like Lauren and like Cassie Carl, she's my assistant coach. She played on Team Canada. She played in Providence. Kate Friesen, Christine Grenier or Christine Ketchmark now.
Yeah.
Like all those players came from here and they had a really good program like that around Jenna's and I's age when they were in midget. They had a phenomenal coach. He's actually my coworker now at school, and they won an ESSO Cup and they had a really good program there, and things kind of shifted. And for a few years, there was kind of like this shift in the program. And I think now they're kind of on that upswing again and things are going well. But it was always that U15 program that just things didn't make sense with how it was worked. And then they get to the U18 program and they're in a league and they've got great coaches and they've got a development plan. But it was just like that U15 and a lot of those girls that you name, a lot of those girls just played on the boys teams because there was opportunity there and there was structure there and there was a league to play in there. And so a lot of them played on the boys teams until they got to the U18 girls level. And then they flipped over to the girls and got their exposure there.
So we got about 5-6 minutes remaining here in this time with you, Christine. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about a few other things here. The NHL Coaches Association, you're part of the female coaches development program that they're running. How's that program running for you? Do you like it? Is it kind of cool to be in with the best of the best across the world?
Yeah, I have like total imposter syndrome. Every day I hop on those calls, like every time we hop on those calls, it's been so cool and making really cool connections. Like there's coaches there, like both Harvard coaches are on there, and there's coaches like at the U Sport level, NCAA level, prep, AAA. There's like national team coaches, USA, Canada, and elsewhere. And there's like grassroots program coaches. Like it's really cool. And we do things where like we had a networking call last week and we all just kind of chatted with each other. And it was just so cool to make the connections. And Jenna, you're going to laugh at this. This lady was telling me, she goes, yeah, you were like number 13 on St. Mary's, right? You were that tall red defenseman. And I'm like, shut up. Like, there's no way you know who I am. I'm so irrelevant. And she goes, no, I remember coming down to that tournament in Winnipeg when I was with Princeton. And I was like, shut the heck up. Princeton knew who I was. I was like, why didn't you call me? Like, and also the fact that you remember me like 8 years later, I was like, heck yeah. Like, but it just like, I was like, okay, I'm just going to die a happy woman now. But there's just like, it's just so cool. And there's so many opportunities there. And the NHL Coaching Association, like Lindsay Arkin is their president, and she's done a really good job just starting this program up. And like the plans even for next year going forward are super exciting. But we meet once a month and we have different presenters. Some are like women within our group. Some are external. We had like, I'm blanking on her name, but she's the first she's the NHL scout for Seattle Kraken. She came and spoke, and we had the video coach from Hershey.
Like Cammy Granato you're talking about?
Yes, Granato. And so we had like, we have female speakers. We get to do like small breakout rooms with NHL coaches and just pick their brains AHL coaches. We joined a few virtual training camps in January there when NHL teams were just starting up. So we kind of got to be fly on the wall in coaches meetings and player meetings and stuff like that. So there's a lot of really cool opportunities from it and a lot of good networking. And I'm like humbled every day that I kind of stumbled into this. And like, there's 53 of us, I think. And just the fact that I'm one of them is so cool. And it's so exciting. And I'm super excited for what kind of the future holds with that program moving forward.
That's good to find out, Jen. That's your next step.
I mean, I helped Christina, I think it was 1 year just with like, it was during tryouts, just she needed some people to watch because they didn't have much. And after that, I was like, man, I just want to come live out here and coach out here. Like the way she runs everything is crazy. But no, yeah, let's sign me up. Get me in.
Yeah. I tried to get you to come. I was like, we'll pay your mileage, drive out to Carmen. Come on.
I know. I should have done it, but.
You still can.
I know. We'll chat.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, speaking of running things, you also sort of run a little bit of a side venture as you, you're an instructor for another, I don't know if it's a sport. Is it considered a sport yet?
I don't think it's a sport because it's competitive. Like I take it competitively, but yeah, I'm a Zumba instructor. Imagine that.
But I mean, obviously you're good at it. Again, you've had a couple of things online and I mean, again, watching them and I'm just like, okay, like she's super like energetic while she's doing it. So, I mean, obviously you're inspired to do it, but like, how'd you get into it? How'd you start sort of getting certified as an instructor?
Well, I just did Zumba like in university with friends. Like we would just go to Zumba classes and I always just was like, it's so much fun. And it kind of brought my dance background back because I used to dance competitively when I was younger. And then during the pandemic last year, I was just like, I got to do something. Everything's like hockey's gone. And I was like, maybe I'll get my Zumba certification of all the things to think like, yeah, that's what I'll do. And so I did my Zumba certification and then we started kind of like trying to do wellness stuff with our kids at school virtually. So I would kind of coax these other teachers into embarrassing themselves online with me and dancing. And then a lady kind of found my video, like a lady in Morden Rec here, her child goes to our school and she was like, hey, do you want to run Zumba in Morden? And I was like, sure. And then another lady was like, hey, she owns a fitness studio in Winkler and Carmen. And she's like, do you want to do Zumba with me? And I was like, sure. What's one more thing? So yeah, let's do 3 Zumba classes a week on my hockey schedule. Absolutely. And now I kind of have just stuck with it and it's so much fun. And it's just kind of a really cool outlet to do something and dance and just kind of let it out. And it kind of brings my creative side into it, getting to make up all the choreography and stuff. And it's kind of my space to just let my freak flag fly and get all my energy out and dance like everybody's watching me.
I gotta say, I mean, again, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a fan. It was good. So good for you.
I have a class at 7:30 tonight if you want to make a trip out to Winkler.
It's a bit of a hike, but I mean, we'll see. I might do the online stuff if that's the case then. So last question before we let you get out of here, because I think this, I mean, you mentioned her a little bit only because, I mean, she came up in passing, but you do have a younger sister who now has an opportunity to go play U Sports hockey as she's headed out to Trinity Western as Kate is out there being a defender. Congratulations to her.
Old.
I got to ask you, number one, obviously, how cool is it that, you know, your sister is going to be a U Sports star at some point? And secondly, I mean, how cool is it that 2 more teams were added to Canada West anyway to really sort of drive that background on expanding women's hockey in Canada?
Yeah, I think it's so cool. And I'm so happy for her and just excited for her. And I think Trinity is the perfect place for her to go. And I know when she was kind of in her decision process last year, Trinity was the right fit. It's a smaller school, which is kind of what, like, that's where she's going to thrive on the academic side of things. And she is getting to experience what being a pioneer program is, right? Because she came into St. Mary's when they were well established. And so now she's on the flip side that like Jenna and I had gone through with St. Mary's, and now she's on that pioneer side. I think they've got a really good program there. She's really enjoying it. Their workouts and practices, obviously they aren't playing many games, but she's enjoying it. She's excited for kind of next year. I know U Sports kind of looking at their schedule here in the next few weeks, it's going to be kind of hammered in and released, but I think for her, it's the perfect fit. And then I also think for U Sport, just to add teams to the program, like it shows that there is growth And that's coming up from the U18 and the U15 AAA teams, right? Like that's where those girls are getting developed and getting inspired to want to play at that elite level. And it's kind of opening the doors to have more opportunities. Whereas before, you have all these girls that can play at that level and just not enough programs that can host them. And I think this upcoming season and the future few, there's going to be a lot of eligibility kind of issues, right? With girls that like lost a season to COVID and like are holding on to next year eligibility, and teams just physically will not have space to take girls. And there could be a lot of players being kind of left out when they don't deserve to be with that. And so the fact that these two new programs have kind of come up in US or Canada West, sorry, like that's just going to open up a little bit more opportunity for some of these players that have worked so hard to be at that level. And hopefully they get the chance to, even with all the shifting and stuff that is kind of going to ripple down after all this COVID stuff.
Last thing we do before we let you get out of here, anything you want to say, anything, any message you want to pass on before we let you get going, Christine?
Well, I just want to say like how awesome this is. And I'm so proud of Jenna for everything that she's doing. And also, I just want to continue seeing growth in female hockey. And I think the U15 level is the perfect level for it, because that's your stepping stone into a U18 program. And the things you learn both on and off the ice at the U15 is what prepares you for U18 and prep or whatever kind of your goals and aspirations are in there. And I just want to see it keep growing both in Winnipeg and rurally in Manitoba. And I'm super pumped that Jenna's with the Vicks, our OGs, and we're hopefully play against each other like we did last year.
Hoping for the best.
We'll have to set that exhibition game up at some point and get you guys to bring out both teams and have some fun that way. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Christine Bumstead tell her story. She is a Morden Middle School teacher. She is the head coach of the AAA Pembina Valley Under 15 Hawks. And she certainly is awesome. Christine, if anything ever changes, anything ever want to come on again, I mean, door will always be open for you for sure.
Awesome. Thank you.
So there's Christine Bumstead, who is a remarkable individual. She's a head coach, as I mentioned, of the Pembina Valley Under 15 Hawks. She's a middle school teacher out in Morden. She's going for her ASL Masters designation, which I think is absolutely ridiculously cool. She's, again, a Zumba instructor when she's not busy doing everything else. And she's only 25 years old, folks. Like, we're talking about a woman here who legitimately should probably be on Manitoba's top 40 under 40, in my opinion, just because of how incredible of a role model she's been for the kids in the Pembina Valley region. Again, Christine Bumstead, keep your eye on her. She's going to be one of the best. Certainly going to hear probably more about her as things go on, because she is one of the up-and-coming sort of coaches and people in this province for sure. I do want to draw on the fact, we mentioned it off the top, Kraft Hockeyville going to be coming possibly to St. Adolph, Manitoba. I want to get this in. St. Adolph is one of the four finalists, along with Bob Cajun, Ontario. You might recognize that from the Tragically Hip song. Elsipetog First Nation out in New Brunswick. Lumsden, Saskatchewan is the third finalist. And again, St. Adolph is the fourth finalist. Voting opens at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Manitoba Time. On April 9th, it will last for one day. You're going to go to the crafthockeyville.ca website, and you're going to vote there on that day. Folks, we are going to win this. We want to see Kraft Hockeyville come to St. Adolph, Manitoba. We want to have an NHL game out in St. Adolph, Manitoba. Let's do this. Let's go and win this. There hasn't been a lot of hockey to celebrate this year, folks. Let's go and win this and have some real fun with this. So let's get on board with St. Adolph. Let's get out there and see this game. But to do that, you got to vote to win. So to do that, again, go to crafthockeyville.ca. on April 9th at 8 a.m. and vote until you can't vote anymore. Mash that button, folks. Again, want to thank Christine Bumstead for her efforts and certainly for her story tonight. She, again, an incredible woman, and certainly we're happy to feature her here on the Hockey Show. With that, folks, we're going to get out of here for another week. Skippy coming up next with Free Range Radio. Stay tuned for that, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. It's been the Hockey Show. We'll see you again next Thursday, everybody. Have a good one. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.